we're back. Back on the second hour of my broadcast, and we have a caller in Pennsylvania. And I just was curious, before the break, I asked you a question, and if you could. How do you feel about your tax dollar going to people that are going and working in law enforcement? They're abusing the rank and power and doing things similar to what is going on with this Drew Peterson, because it's not just a standalone issue. It's going on all over.
Right, Ms. Burley. That particular Drew Peterson thing, is that happening over there in Illinois?
It's happening all over the place. It's every state has gotten this in it. And when I worked in the judicial system, there was, you know, a lot of cleaning of files of people that were going into being law enforcement agencies that basically were told to come to get their records expunged because they were coming in under clout. Now, do you think that is the correct way that that should happen when you have other people that are supposed to be able to come in the other way and they're supposed to have psychological exams and whatever? And it seems as though this guy got past the psychological examination. So, you know, what is our tax dollars being used for here? So in your state, where you are with your tax dollars, because, again, all of these people are employees, and I have never once said anything against the situation of paying taxes. But I will say the fact that if the taxes come in and they hold hands to somebody that is a politician, that politician has a fiduciary responsibility as law enforcement in the judicial system to uphold the law for the people they serve.
Well, perhaps, Ms. Burley, it's going to have to get a little bit rougher for the people to not comply.
Mm. Well, you can't not comply because the people are the ones that get targeted. But the individuals that have the money after it goes from your hands to theirs have no basis of commonality to any threat of law enforcement other than against those that go against them.
Well, what I mean about noncompliance is publicly stating in your local paper there that you will no longer be funding your local system due to the atrocities involved.
Well, that is a good idea. So in your area, how is it there?
In this particular area, we're over here in northwest Pennsylvania. We're not, well, basically, we're just a stone's throw from Farmer John there. And I'm sure it's just as cold there as it is here right now, Farmer John.
We hit 8 degrees so far tonight.
Yeah. But, well, Miss Burley, I'm almost lost for an answer for you, dear. Some of us, I believe, are waiting for it to collapse within upon itself, and basically, personally, I can only say is just be a personal non-compliance person. I'm not participating in your shenanigans. I don't have to get angry or any of that. It's just no. I'm not going to comply. I'm not going to be part of it. And if you want to go as far as pay your county taxes on your property and put the notice in the local paper that I'll no longer be funding the school taxes and let everyone know. It doesn't have to be hidden.
Okay, but whose shenanigans are you speaking of?
Well, then, it would have to be, as you spoke with, on a local level, like with law enforcement. We're not experiencing too much of that here right now. They pretty much have everyone, I believe, in enough of a stupor with the local lodges and the alcoholism and the public TV that they have them pretty well controlled.
Well, thank you for calling in.
Why, thank you, Ms.
Please
Burley.
Please call in again.
Yeah, check out that Doe Watch, Mitch Burley.
I will do that.
You'll love it.
Thank you.
We'll be back with our guests when we return after this break.
Yeah. heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Do you have a high electric bill? Do you use an electric company that just provides you expensive electricity? Not anymore. Visit www.energy-swap.com and take advantage of a new way to save on your monthly energy bill. Allow Energy Swap to switch your provider and receive the same reliable service and the best rewards program in the industry. Save up to 20% on your electric bill. Rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. No cost to switch. Flat rate plans. Reward program. What more could you ask for? A free gift. Try Energy Swap and receive a free getaway for two. Sign up today. 888-238-6397. That's 888-238-6397. Visit our website, www.energy-swap.com, and use the tool generator to calculate how much you can save on your monthly energy bill. 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then Power Mall Global is here for you. Power Mall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000-plus stores, including Sears, OfficeMax, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. Power Mall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores, buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday, and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
Hi, we're back, and we're here talking about things you should know about, and we're going to switch conversations right now, and we're going to move on to September 11th. We're going to go into two levels of this. The first is what happened with these planes, the planes that we saw going into World Trade Center, Building 1 and 2. What happened to Pennsylvania? Now, we've talked a lot about New York. We talked about the Pentagon. But we really haven't gone totally into the issue of what happened in Pennsylvania. And seeing this story unfold from a pilot who was a former United Airlines pilot, who's retired, expert witness currently on crashes. His name is Ross Amer, and he's my special guest here. And we also have Captain Dan Handel on. And we're going to be talking about both the situation of the September 11th issue, and then we're going to go over to Dan and talk about the thing that happened with the people that worked at United Airlines and lost all their pension fund and the scandal. So when we come back after this break, this is going to be a really interesting topic here. If you want to call in, 800-313-9443. We'll be right back up.
Again.
Yeah, I'm not hearing the music either. Dan,
oh,
are you?
Oh, I thought I heard the music. I'm sorry. So, Ross, are you there?
I'm here, Deanne. Good evening.
Hi, Ross. How are you doing?
Good, good. Just to want to make a little correction. My distinguished colleague is Captain Dan Hanley.
Hanley, I'm
here
sorry.
Too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dan. I'm sorry I got your name wrong.
Oh, that's no problem.
Okay.
Thanks for having us on.
But, Ross, can you tell us about the night of September 11th, where you were, and what you felt happened on that day?
Well, luckily for me, I was actually off that day. I was... not flying during September 11th, and a very good friend of mine called early in the morning and told me to turn the television set on. And obviously, like everybody else, I was absolutely stunned. I was basically numb.
Ross, could I have you please try to speak up a little bit? You're awful quiet.
Can you hear me now?
That's better.
Okay. Yes, I was not flying during September 11th, Deanne.
So where were you? Were you in New York area? Or what?
No, I was actually at my house in Los Angeles, in Laguna Niguel, when a friend of mine called early in the morning and asked me to turn the television set on. And as I said earlier, you perhaps didn't hear me. I too, like everybody else, I was just shocked. I was numb for a while. Couldn't really believe my eyes. I'm not sure what Dan was doing at that time.
Well, I have somewhat of an interesting story. I was at the Newark Hilton. I was a 777 captain at the time, and I was scheduled to go to London that night. And I actually slept through the event. Didn't wake up till 10 because I was going to fly all night. And turned on the TV, saw what was happening, and I was at the Newark airport, so I ran downstairs and convinced a van driver to try to fight the nightmare crowd on the expressway to get over to Newark, thinking I could help out. And security wasn't established yet. I flashed my United ID, and they let me through. They had snow removal equipment blocking all the exits, so I managed to get into the Newark airport, which is a complete ghost town. They had run everybody off, and a gentleman that worked in United Management got me through security, and I got down to flight operations. And if you recall, the Pennsylvania flight did leave out of Newark that morning, and the crews that were taxiing out that morning and I had actually seen the event. First they saw Tower 1 burning, and while they were sitting holding short of the runway, they saw the United plane go into the second tower. And they immediately closed the airport and told to return. But Jason Dahl, the captain that was Ross's friend, had actually deadheaded. He came in on a flight with one of the captains down there in operations. The FBI was keeping all the pilots there because they wanted to question them. And so they were all pretty numb. I mean, obviously, they had seen this, and they had just spent the morning down in operations talking with Jason Dahl, and they all even walked up to the gate together and said, have a good flight, and that was the end of that.
Well, when this happened, was that during the time that they had grounded all the pilots when they started questioning the pilots?
No. Well, sorry, Dan.
Go ahead, Ross.
That was not the case, Deanne. That happened actually afternoon after the third aircraft allegedly crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where they basically grounded all the air traffic in the United States.
Now, you had a friend that was on that plane in Pennsylvania, right, Ross?
That is correct. Actually, Dan and I both knew Jason Dahl, Captain Jason Dahl, who was the captain of that ill-fated 757 that crashed into Shanksville. We both know him, a great a pilot, a good friend. And obviously, that's another thing that added to our grief and shock, because we actually knew the person.
Now, the thing is that when that plane went down in Shanksville, there's been reports, allegations, that that plane was shot down. Do you feel that happened, or do you think something else happened there?
You know, that's something that we've all been facing with and stewing over and thinking about since it happened. Obviously, none of us for sure know what exactly happened, but looking at some of the evidence, obviously I was not at the scene. I did not see it, but from what I've read, from what I've studied, and I don't know what Dan feels about it, I have many, many questions that are unanswered. The shoot-down is one of the possibilities, very strong possibilities, that some of us strongly think about. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, I'm a member of a grassroots coalition called Whistleblowers. I'll talk about that later. And consequently, a number of investigative organizations have been in contact with me the last few years. So I've listened to all the theories. And many of them are very credible, but since I haven't personally investigated that whole process, I've looked at their evidence, and it's believable, particularly how strewn out the debris field was. And leaves some questions to be answered, but I don't think that we're ever going to get the answers, given the environment we're working in here.
Why do you say that? Because the environment that you're working in, and what happened with the remains there in Shankville, you know, it seems like there was a big gigantic hole. It still shows a hole. It seems like the plane just, you know, got enveloped inside the earth. You know, with the you saw the line where the wing section was. You saw the area where it looked like the cone of the plane went through, and it. You know, this was a strange-looking type of hole, and I don't know what you saw, because I haven't gotten into Shankville as much as I have been in Towers 1, 2, and 7, and also the Pentagon. So what did you get from looking at what the remains were, or did you look at the remains?
Yes, I've gotten a number of feeds from these different organizations, but I really don't feel qualified to make a statement one way or the other. I would be doing a disservice if I did. I just don't have enough solid
information.
Right.
Okay.
Have you guys heard of anything as far as like other flights landing that same day in Ohio to where there was possibly a switch of planes? So that
yes, we have heard of that. But again, and I agree with Dan, since we you know, we're technicians. We're somebody that deals with absolute reality, physical thing, and none of us have seen that with our own eyes. It's kind of hard to believe what exactly happened. But yes, we have heard those reports of a similar call sign and a flight number landing in Ohio.
The other thing was that I had some people down in that area, and they reported kind of a, what they call a warthog jet flying low level over the treetops just before the things happened there. And also, the debris really showed no clothes, no seats, no human parts. It almost looked like a bomb was just dropped, and basically that was it, because you didn't see any fuselage. I mean, if any planes crashed around.
Well, you're talking about the Pentagon.
No, I'm talking about
both.
Shanksville.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Both Shanksville and Pentagon.
Mm-hmm. He's
right.
There is no debris as you would see in any other flight anywhere around the world. I mean, like in the Pentagon itself, they claim that the lawn was dug up 2 foot deep in the official story, and the lawn was perfect.
That is correct.
Well, we're going to break now. I was hearing music before. I don't know where that was coming from, but we're going to be right back with the story about Shankville when we return.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Hi, we're back, and we're here, and we're talking about the World Trade Center, but talking about the idea of what happened dealing with the Pennsylvania flight. We haven't really talked about that. It's been kind of like there and not there, and we have a caller, Mike in Kentucky. Mike, you're up here. You have a question?
Yeah, I was wondering if they'd heard, and a couple things. First, I guess, it being technicians, have you seen any of the pictures of parts at the Pentagon, specifically the one that I'm looking at or have seen, is of a engine casing inside of the Pentagon before it was taken out, where some people have claimed that it's not the right series of engine for that particular Boeing jet, and it may match up to the type that was used on some of the older Stratotankers. But it didn't quite add up, according to some people that have looked at it. But the idea that there were no parts found at the Pentagon is wrong. There were a lot of parts found at the Pentagon, and as the day progressed, they piled debris outside of the Pentagon as they sifted through it. If you look at the photos after the roof has burned, there's more than one hole in the inner rings, and that's because the engines tumbled in different directions from the nose. And you can find there was two holes. You see that famous picture of one hole that's like 9 feet across or something on one of the inner rings, but there's actually two of those. The other thing is that the plane that you're talking about in Shanksville, the FBI will not release what proof they have that the tail numbers match up to the planes that were supposed to be flying that day. They claim that it's an ongoing investigation, and after a Freedom of Information Act request, I think from the Families for 9/11 Truth, they will not release whether or not, they won't say one way or the other, what proof they have that the tail numbers match up to the flights that they say were the ones that crashed. So, knowing what you know about the airline industry, what do you say about that? It reeks of a cover-up, doesn't it?
Mike, this is Ross Amer. Yes, I have looked at the pictures, so-called evidence of the aircraft that crashed into Pentagon.
Yeah.
The part that you are speaking of,
I'm not talking about the. Now, there's another one that's the APU unit. They have a small turret.
Hang on, Mike. Let him finish this answer here, and then we'll go back.
Yes, Mike. And like you're saying, that certainly did not look anything like a 757 engine, that particular engine that was on the 757. As for the Shanksville and the scene of the crash, again, you are absolutely correct. FBI always consider that a crime scene rather than a crash site. They were never the people that are normally at a crash site of an aircraft or air disaster were never allowed to get anywhere close to that crash scene because it was considered a crime scene. Normally, it's the NTSB, National Transportation Safety Board, that gets involved in air disasters, crashes, and whatnot. But as far as I know, they were never allowed to get anywhere close to that.
Well, everybody points to that one turbine that has most of its blades removed and says, look, this is too small to be from a passenger jet, but it could have been the turbine from the APU, the auxiliary power unit, which sits under the tail, is really small.
That's correct.
Compared to the big turbine engines. And so there are pictures to be found of plane debris, and the stuff that was found at Shanksville was scattered quite a long ways. What do you know of the aircraft being able to fly upside down? Because that's the official story, is that right before it crashed and nosedived or into the ground, plane supposedly flipped upside down. Now, I know from flying model aircraft that you have to change your angle of attack quite a bit to fly a plane upside down.
Mike, commercial aircraft are not well known to be flying upside down very well, and I'm sure my friend Dan will attest to that. Most of us commercial pilots, it's pretty hard for us to fly a commercial aircraft upside down.
Yeah, you got to change your complete angle of attack. Your nose has
to be pointed. You actually reverse all the controls and whatnot.
But it will. I mean, the animation that I've seen from the mainstream media shows the thing flipping over, and of course it's flying probably 600-800 feet off the ground. They claim. And then it, which would allow for the elevator to really sharply nosedive that plane into the ground, but it would take quite a bit of skill to fly along for any length of time upside down.
That
I would
correct.
Think. And I guess they're, you know, the animations that I saw depicted it flying for several seconds in straight and level flight upside down, and then somebody jerking back on the stick just snapping it right into the ground. Now, that would obliterate whatever plane that was if it was flying at 500 miles an hour or something, and it did that into the ground. It would shred it to nothing.
I would agree with you.
Well, we're going to be right back, and I have a question on this in regards to the speed.
Yeah.
Dropping down from high levels of the atmosphere, and I'll tell you what my question is when we return here. We'll be right back up.
Dreams are made of ours. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept!
Hi, we're back. And it's Late Night with Deanne on RBN. And we're with our special guest in regards to this thing on the World Trade Center. Now, this is the question I had posed. If a plane is traveling at 500-some-odd miles per hour, and you hear all these people that were on the plane, how was it that none of them lost consciousness? If it was falling, it was flying down. It went from one altitude down to the lower altitude. And then once it went down to the lower altitude, wouldn't there be a situation that would have been more things heard in the background during the flight? I mean, wouldn't you hear, the situation with, luggage compartments coming open and luggage falling and maybe the air dropping down because they were going from one altitude to the next, allegedly traveling at 500-some-odd miles per hour, and then they would have to pull the plane up in order to get it leveled to go into the towers? How do you do something like that? I just have a curiosity.
Go ahead, Dan.
Well,
am I making sense? I hope.
Oh, you did. Uh-huh. I just don't have the timeline when calls were made, when things were purportedly said over the telephone, mm-hmm. relative to how close that was to impact. But the speed
given the airplanes coming into the Twin Towers there, you know, every airplane has something called a VNE, never exceed speed, and it's a wonder those airplanes didn't come apart. Never mind the G-forces they would be pulling into that final turn, the one coming up from the
tower. Isn't there another problem, too, called high-speed stall, where you're, like on the Pentagon flight, they came down from something like, I guess, you know, normal flight level of 25 or 30,000 feet and did a 270-degree turn in just a short number of miles at that rate of descent and that speed. Don't you run into a situation where your flight controls don't respond? It's called a high-speed stall or a dive stall.
Well, there's any number of issues you could address here, never mind the lack of experience these pilots supposedly
Yeah,
had.
They didn't have experience
they
to do that.
I've listened to videos where pilots with umpteen thousand hours of flight experience said they couldn't manage the flight maneuvers that put the planes into the Twin Towers, so...
Certainly points to the possibility of some remote control, doesn't it?
Well, even on a remote control issue, you know, you have to understand that, see, I used to work at Allen Aircraft, and I also worked for Boeing myself, and I also worked for United at one point. I was doing other things, but when I went into Allen Aircraft, I was at a different level, and I was at a different level when I was working at Boeing. And the bottom line is that I've been studying planes. I'm not, you know, an expert by any means, but I mean just logically, if you have a plane traveling at 500 and some miles an hour, you know, we're talking about G-forces, and you have it going from one altitude and pointing down, and you're talking about someone that learned to fly a plane off of flight simulation. And see, I was sitting in a room with these so-called alleged terrorists that were in their flight school out here in Illinois. And they were using a picture of a cockpit of a 747 to give them an idea of what the panel looked like. And I reported all this, and nobody did anything. And the bottom line is that, you know, if they're getting in the plane for the first time and never riding and flying in 747, because most of the pilots there are with the United and American Airlines and stuff, they have a whole lot of flight hours, and a whole lot of flight hours, and a lot of them used to be in the Air Force. So these people are experienced flyers, and they, you know, the stuff that they're talking about, I don't know if you guys, you know, can, you know, say, you know, it's what I feel, that it's very much impossible for an expert pilot to maneuver like this.
The challenge is one's imagination as a pilot to believe.
Well,
precisely.
I'll leave it at that, you know, given the amount of flight time they were supposed to have.
Right, and then the thing is, you're listening to folks that are on there talking about they're over in some corner of the plane, and they're talking about somebody originally was plastic forks and you know, box cutters in the beginning, and they were being threatened, and you know, they were saying these things while this plane was traveling at these high speeds. And I know those flight cabinet things that you have over this overhead, you know, G-forces would pop them open. I would imagine the luggage or whatever would be in there would have fell out, and you would hear those sounds in the background.
Again, Deanne, I can't address that because I don't know the timeline on those events. I was just purely speaking from a pilot perspective. Experience.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I'm just giving a novice, you know, detail of what, you know, this seems kind of logical. Is this not matching up, you know, to anything logical to me? And you know, going back to Shanville, you know, again, now...
What flight number was that, by the way? Flight... was 93? It 93 that crashed?
93, right.
93.
Well, that's the one that they had a page up on the Cincinnati's WCPO Channel 9 for something like almost 2 years. They left the page there, and, of course, it was hot-linked for a lot of these web pages that talk about 9/11, where they reported that that flight number had landed up there outside of the Wright-Patterson or so. somewhere there around Dayton, I think, at an airport, and that one of the passengers were taken to an old NASA facility, I think, and another group of passengers were taken to the airport terminal. And I think it was the Flight 93 passengers that were taken off to some facility. I think it was former NASA warehouse or something that they had taken them to, and that was on that. They left that page up for like 2 years, and then they took it down. I don't know why, but it was on the official CBS, I think, affiliate from Cincinnati, Channel 9. That's where the source for that story comes from.
Mike, there are hundreds, literally hundreds of websites that address this issue.
Yeah,
far deeper than Dan and I could discuss in a short period.
I understand. I was just saying that's where that source comes from, is
yeah.
that one
what,
station.
What you can do, one of the websites that are that we've kind of visited, and very interesting, is it's called Pilots for Truth, I believe.
Pilots for 9/11
Dan?
Truth.
Right.
Yeah. I've seen that one.
Another
yeah.
one's Hawks Cafe.
Yeah, and they've done a lot of investigative reporting on that website. Very interesting. I either endorse or deny what they say, but it is a lot of factual evidence that they present to prove their case. And if somebody's very interested, they can find some very, very interesting stuff there. But as far as what you were talking about, some of those maneuvers that you asked Dan and I,
yeah.
Even for a very highly experienced pilots, they're kind of impossible to perform in a commercial jet. Sometimes even in a fighter jet, it's almost hard
well,
to do.
Well, parts of the story that they have put forward kind of makes sense. If some of the hijackers passed themselves off as pilots and sat in the jump seat behind the crew and had one of these knives, they could have easily slashed the throats of the crew in a matter of a few seconds with a coordinated attack from a couple of other ones. They could have taken over the cockpit.
Yes.
But where it doesn't add up is they didn't know where to turn off the flight transponders. They didn't have that kind of training. They didn't know where to, whether or not there's supposed to be a "we've been hijacked" silent alarm that the pilots can hit, and it's almost like a bank teller's button that they can hit. Now, without getting it, I guess, you know, nobody's going to be allowed to know about that unless they are given the training by the airlines. So those pilots would have been able to hit that before they died, but they hadn't. So there's a lot, some of the story adds up that they could have done this, but without a lot of the inside knowledge being allowed to come out, most people don't realize that it doesn't add up. I mean, if they accept the official story, it's only out of ignorance.
I'd like to do a little bit of a cover-up here.
Huh?
There's a film where they have an F-14 fighter, and I had a gentleman that was trying to sell me that, you know, you can vaporize a plane. Well, any plane accident that I've seen videotaped around the world is never just vaporized. Anyhow, this F-14 fighter is flying at 500-some miles an hour and hits a concrete block wall, and they stop the film almost immediately after it, like, is through blasting apart, and they see it vaporize itself. But the big issue there is it didn't penetrate the concrete at all. And so anyhow, at the Pentagon, what we have is we have a concrete building that's very structural. You could punch a hole in that and put a garage door in there and never have to worry about building any supports because it's not going to cave in. They have buildings in Russia that were shot holes all through them, and they never caved in. We have the smell of gunpowder. We have videotapes that are like 100 times faster than any camera going at the Pentagon and much more of them, and yet we have no pictures. We have a situation where we have the most defended building probably in the world, and the anti-missile systems weren't activated. So who shut them down? We have let's see, we have no intercepts. planes that are, especially after an hour of an attack on this on our country, we have no intercepts intercepting these planes.
Well, they had
and
two.
I don't care if they shut off an interceptor or not.
Well, they had two intercepts because, again, there was that one that came into the New York area
right.
just as the plane hit the second tower. So there was an intercept there. And there was one there, and that's the whole thing about Shanksville, because
yep.
there was one allegedly there, and they don't know if it was fired on or the pilot took a nosedive to prevent, you know, this thing from going into the Pentagon.
Of course, you know, they claim that the some of the passengers got together and tried to storm the cockpit, and that and you know that's the hero story.
Yeah,
let's,
but there's
let's
something
roll.
Wrong with that too. You know,
right.
I don't see. This is the thing somebody asked me, and they were really irate about this, and it was kind of like, how did they get into the cockpit? Again, you know, back in the day when they were doing this stuff of taking over planes, they had bombs strapped on them. They had guns. They had submachine guns. They ran into, you know, these planes back in, you know, we're talking about the late 60s and 70s and things when the hijacking was going on. And the thing is that in this particular case, the first thing that was uttered out was that they had box cutters and plastic knives. And there was nothing about explosives put on them until later on as the story grew. So, you know, and then it was questionable if that was the case, because I don't think any pilot would risk the whole plane to open a cockpit to let somebody in with plastic knives or a box cutter.
Well, that's the thing, Deanne, that the jump seat is right behind the pilot in the cockpit. And so the story is that three or four of these guys passed themselves off as pilots making a connecting flight back to their home base or whatever, and they one of the hijackers was actually in the cockpit with the box cutter and immediately killed the crew, and that's what allowed his buddies to come into the cockpit then. So that's the official story, is that they already had a man in the cockpit posing as a pilot making a return flight, you know, to wherever his home base.
Well, he had to have been like one of those Bruce Lee movies.
Exactly. That's the plausibility thing, because these Arabs are supposed to be good with knives. I mean, they carry them from an early adolescence. You know, they're taught to carry a knife on their belt or whatever.
Wouldn't,
so, yeah,
they
they're
still
good
be
with
on
knives.
The flight manifest?
Excuse me?
Wouldn't they still be on the flight manifest?
They would have been.
You would think, unless they used a name that was more English sounding, you know, as opposed to Arabic. But I mean, the other coincidence is that all of these flights had the same computer glitch that caused them to be underbooked. Supposedly, there was only about 30% of the seats were occupied on all of these planes, which of course would make them more easily taken over.
And then that goes back to the standby thing. See, people, there's a thing that they do with standby, and you can alter the number of passengers by the amount of people you allow on in a standby situation. So, you know, when they come up with these numbers, they add up to 9-11. Somebody had to be working standby to add additional passengers and delete passengers from being on there to come up with these numbers of 911.
Well, I had just read stories that there was some kind of a computer glitch was the explanation for why there were so few people on these planes when they're normally, you know, running 75% to 90% occupancy, and that all three of them only had something around the 30% range, or all four of them, I guess. But what is the odds of that they would all, that those planes would have that same computer glitch or whatever? I mean, that's it's a ridiculous explanation, almost like the idea that they could even make cell phone calls. Of course, they've tried to change those stories that were originally called cell phones. They say, oh, those were made from seat back phones.
And then those feedback phones have cords to them, so how could they take them all the way back to the back of the plane?
Or the bathroom. One supposedly was making a call from a bathroom. I mean, that had to be a cell phone.
And then there's this metal tray thing that the stewardess brings down the aisle that has the food and beverages on it. And I'm trying to figure out how these people hopped up around and did all these kind of things. You know, we're not talking planes we see in the movies, you know. I don't know, you know. Maybe I'm wrong about it, but I was on a couple planes.
At this time, did Boeing have their Boeing override? So if say, a plane is hijacked, that they can actually take over the controls of it from the ground?
Now that's called Operation Home Run, or it's referred to as Operation Home Run, which was developed supposedly, like Deanne was talking about, back when these the rash of hijacking started occurring in the late 60s through the 70s. Supposedly, the Israelis and the Americans worked together to develop a way to hack into the controls, well, not really hack into them, but to take over the controls on the fly-by-wire planes. So...
Well, caller Mike in Kentucky,
yeah.
Thank you for
coming. All
right,
thanks for taking my call.
And we'll be back up, and we have a couple more callers here. We'll be back, 800-313-9443.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Hi, Hi, we're back, and this is Deanne. Late Night with Deanne on RBN. During the week, Monday through Friday, I'm on Truth Radio from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Also on Blog Talk Radio, simulcast at that time. We're also on Internet Chat Cafe out of South America. Currently here on the thanks of Claudia Nelson, and we have folks at Pal Talk involved who are listening here, and a number of other broadcasters that have connected the show, the syndicated all around the country and the globe. And we're here with both Ross and also Dan and John. John, do you have any questions of this here?
Well, again, there's no question in my mind when President Bush says in his first three speeches that he saw the first plane hit the first tower, who had the camera out? I mean, they had to have pre-knowledge to know that that happened. You know, he had the Gold Book upside down. He sat there for another 19 minutes after telling the second plane hit the second tower. Again, I'm embarrassed for a person that's supposed to be in charge of our country. He couldn't even call 9/11. You know, you're supposed to call out the cavalry or something. He did nothing except let the Saudis fly out of this country. It doesn't take much, you know. All the cameras were either confiscated or not as let us have the pictures. We have gunpowder smoke at the Pentagon that they smelled. If you had a 12-foot 2x4 sticking through your windows on a car and put a couple of cement blocks out on the ends of those and drove through a roadblock, more or less, I'm going to tell you the tenant at that roadblock would be jumping out of his little canopy because that cement block would be flying right through there. It wouldn't suck through and follow that car into the hole. The engines didn't make a mark on that wall where it hit the Pentagon. It wasn't a 757 or 67 that hit the Pentagon. There's just too much. They could have taken control of the plane. The plane would have split apart at that fast a turn. They should have been intercepted. Look at the things that have happened since the JFK assassination, since President Bush Sr. Was in charge of the CIA and they pulled the people off the back of the car to let the president be assassinated. They had pre-knowledge that they allowed it to happen and probably were on top of it. They did a cover-up there also. And that was the start of the takeover of the program. We're heading now with the prison camps, the FEMA camps. We're having the United people coming in this country of the United Nations armed warfare. There's a million troops in this country right now. We've taken our troops out of this country. We're following the exact fall of the Roman Empire. We're replicating the German takeover of Nazism. And it's not just history repeating itself, it's being created. And, you know, this is like the false Pearl Harbor. That was created. It wasn't just, it just happened and we just happened to miss the boat. It was set up purposely.
Well, you know, on that note, you know, you were saying something about this stuff with the planes and things, and it triggered a memory, and I was kind of, oh boy. As soon as I started, something of music comes on. We'll be right back. 800-313-9443. I'll be right back, and I have a question for Ross and Dan. We'll be right back.